Hello?
Podcast Network Asia.
Welcome to Family is the Answer, an adoption and foster care podcast. I'm Karina Kuna Henson, Managing Director for Ruhe Foundation. Together with Podcast Network Asia, we're here to share resources to inform you and stories to inspire you about adoption and foster care. Hope you enjoy listening. Hi guys, I am Karina, and you are joining me for another episode of Our Family is the Answer podcast, which hopefully is a podcast where you learn more about what it's like to care for orphan and vulnerable children in the Philippines. And it's designed to provide you with also very practical information on how to go about adoption and foster care domestically, especially if you are from NCR or Metro Manila. But we're really just here to help and hopefully inspire you with some of the stories that we gather along the way from the communities that we're a part of. And that's really the heartbeat behind our podcast. And thankfully, I'm not alone today. Joining me is my very good friend and our very, 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 very committed and very, very, very precious social worker. She manages our family services, really handles all of our regular adoption cases, Giselle. And Giselle joined us just this year, right? Yes. Do you want to say hi?
Hi!
So we're going to try to ease Giselle into this. This is your first time on the podcast, but I'm telling you, Giselle, it's not going to be your last. But really, because I've learned so much from Giselle. When we first met, I just saw some pictures, actually. It was 2017, and I visited the children's home that she was working at, Kids with Purpose International. She was a social worker there. She also served for a time as the assistant executive director, supporting my very good friend, Deanna Collins. And she has been just so instrumental in helping us understand the needs of children who are waiting in children's homes. Actually, Giselle, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Kids with Purpose International and like what your experiences were like working there for 15 years with them.
Kids with Purpose International is a child caring agency po, located in Parañaque City, and they care for children who are 4 years old and above. They have also independent living program that caters children or youth that are removed from the list of the adoptable kids. So yeah, I've worked with them for 15 years, and even though that I'm working for Ruhe now, my heart's still with them. I always think of them. I always mention them to my clients, to the couples that apply. So,
I mean, I can understand why I think about them every day as well. I think you guys have some really, really incredible kids. You guys did a great job at raising and discipling and mentoring these children who have a temporary family with Kids with Purpose, right? And so I just thanks so much for everything you did with them. And it's really, really helpful for us to have Giselle on our team now as a child placement agency, because it's so cool that you've come full circle, kind of, right?
Oh, yeah.
From helping children be placed for adoption to now helping families adopt those children. Mm-hmm. Being able to have experienced both sides is so cool. But today on the podcast, I want to talk a little bit about your independent living program and the independent living program of Kids with Purpose, or KWPI. And actually, that independent living program had to be formed because you were finding that the cases of some of the kids were being closed.
Yes, awful.
So that happens
because these kids don't get adopted. And most of them are boys in sibling groups, or kids with developmental delays.
Right. So when we heard that, and I think we've come to understand that that's not just the reality for Kids with Purpose International. Actually, it's every single children's home in the Philippines, all across the nation. There's a group of children which they sometimes call unadoptable. When that term gets thrown around, I always think, you know, it makes you ask, why? Why can't they be adopted? And really, at the heart of that is we're not saying they're unadoptable. They can. In fact, they need to be adopted. But unfortunately, nobody is adopting them.
Yes, awful.
So I wanted to talk to Giselle. I invited Giselle to join us for this episode because we really want to understand why. We want to understand who those children are that are still waiting to be adopted. And for some reason, it's so difficult to find a match for them, to find a family for them. And they end up waiting extra long. And to understand why, you mentioned some groups of children already. Maybe we can talk a little bit about those groups. The first one you mentioned was older kids. Mm-hmm. Why do you think these older kids fall under that category of, hate using that word, right? Unadoptable. Or they technically don't really get adopted in the Philippines.
Yes. On my experience with Rohay Foundation, with families applying, usually the children that they would prefer to adopt are below 2 years old.
Right.
Well, some of them recently would raise it up to 4 years old. But
that's a stretch.
Yes. Pero yun na yung max so far. But I'm dreaming, maybe in one of the days to come, Filipino couples will be open to older kids.
Same, yeah.
But yeah, pag 5 years old, that's a little bit hard to place domestically.
And so it's funny that you say that because in other parts of the world, diba, yung unadoptable age is typically teenager.
Oh, yes.
But here in the Philippines, yung unadoptable age is actually 5. So, we're finding what that tells us is actually when you look statistically, there are hardly any cases of Filipino families adopting through regular adoption children over the age of 5.
Yes.
Almost none.
Mm-hmm. In Kids with Purpose International, out of 100 plus adoption, lahat po yun inter-country adoption. And our youngest who was placed internationally was 4. 4 years old.
So you're actually saying that Kids with Purpose International, their focus really is on what we call older kids, meaning technically, as much as we hate saying it, they were unadoptable in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Okay. True.
Just because they were over the age of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that positioned them, so what happens to them is really more inter-country adoption.
Yes. Inter-country or independent living.
It's shocking, right? Because if you think about it, you would think that out of the hundreds and out of the many years of operation, operations of Kids with Purpose International, there would have at least been maybe, you would think, kahit iilan, diba? Like one or two. But you're saying there've been
zero
domestic adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that?
Actually, the Philippines, as far as I know, we do not have the study or the statistics on actual reasons why such number. Kung bakit walang na-adopt na ganong karaming bata within that age. And that's maybe one of the future projects that we can work on.
It's so shocking.
But with the very small number that I've worked with na mga families, the reason why they would prefer to adopt a younger child, which is below 2 years old, is because they believe na they have shorter institutionalization.
Right.
Lesser ang trauma.
So are you saying that there is fear of adopting a slightly older child, a child older than the age of 2, because they fear the trauma of institutionalized living?
Yes, awful.
Is that a valid fear?
I can understand. I usually would respect the family. Kahit na gusto kong i-advocate yung mga older children,
right?
I would never force them to do that. Kasi it's really a calling and it needs preparation.
Yes.
Actually, even the younger child.
Yeah.
A family saying yes to adopting 2 years old, I'm already more than grateful for that. But, of course, behind my mind are the faces of the kids that I work with just in Kids with Purpose. Hindi pa kasama yung mga nasa ibang CCAs. That's why I'm really grateful that I'm with Rohay Foundation right now. Kasi with the counseling or the interactions that I have had with the families, it gives me the chance to really advocate for these kids.
Yeah. Like,
tell the families kung ano ang mga situations nila and how Children's Home now are doing all that they can to prepare these kids. Like, for example, they would come to the CCAs or the Children's Home malnourished. The CCAs are really good in helping this child recover.
Yes, they have like nutritionists and specialists that really come in to help.
Opo. And aside from that, the ratios of kids and the caregivers, they prioritize or they consider that. If the agency can, they put caregivers na really equip them, they give trainings to their caregivers. para ma-prepare yung kids, not for only for adoption, but maybe for the time na may ma-reintegrate sila sa biological family nila or ma-adopt sila if reintegration with biological family is not possible.
So what you're saying is, parang the way we would say it in the Philippines, parang best effort, diba? Best effort to set this child up for success within a family. They do everything they can to possibly do that. And we want families to know that. So there's a bit of peace of mind knowing that institutions are not ignorant to that. And they're also trying to make sure that they help these children as best as they can. And you know what? We, as a team, we're actually studying TBRI, which is a form of trauma-informed care. It's called trust-based relational intervention. And we're going to have more information about that because we're actually finding that trauma can occur even in newborns. So one of the myths that we want to bust is that if you adopt a newborn, because that's a question we always get, right? Like, can I adopt a baby? How do we get a newborn? The myth we want to bust is that just because you adopted a newborn, they don't have trauma. That is most certainly not true. Mm-hmm. Science tells us that trauma is passed on in utero. And that does not mean, though, that it's beyond repair. In fact, we have a course that we run, a workshop that we run called Stronger Generations. And we do a talk called, you know, Nothing is Beyond Repair. Understanding how actually, you know, you can help kids. Mm-hmm. And not just young children. You can actually help older children and you can help teenagers. And that you get actually, oh, I'm not going to spoil it, but so much cool information about this. You guys have to sign up for that and hopefully be able to learn a little bit more. Because I think it will help some of these older kids get a chance at being adopted. So if you're listening and you're thinking, I really want to help, our heart is that maybe you would consider older children.
Yes.
Plus the kids at Kids With Purpose, they're amazing. Man, I miss them so much. And I think, you know, if you could just get around them, you could see they're normal kids. They're not just, they're actually not normal kids. They're quite exceptional.
Yeah.
That there are agencies and CCAs, as we call them here, child caring agencies, that do an exceptional job at caring for these children and loving them and providing them with the best possible relationships they can have so they can flourish in life. So, yeah, so that's that. And I think foster care is an opportunity for the older children as well, right?
Yes, helpful.
So that's something definitely we want you to consider. The next one I want to ask you about, maybe controversial, but I hear this all the time, and we know that it's true because statistics speak for themselves. The other category, which is considered somewhat unadoptable or less adoptable or less likely to be adopted, I hate saying it, guys, boys. Boys are far less adoptable than girls. Can you help me understand this, Giselle?
I cannot really answer it for the families. I can only assume that maybe families or adoptive families are more afraid. They maybe think that boys are complicated, more complicated.
So girls can be complicated.
Yes, I know. Actually, based on my experience working with Kids With Purpose International for 15 years, I find it actually lesser issues kami with the boys compared with our girls there. But I cannot really answer why. Kasi nga, we do not have data about this. But I can only assume na maybe there's fear of maybe abuse, having abuse within the family from adopting a male child in the future. Maybe they think that boys have misbehaviors. They're more active.
All we have are speculation.
Yes.
And I think that the truth is that behind this mystery, regardless of whether or not we get to the bottom of it, when we talk about it, when I think about it, I think, what a strange thing to be up against simply because of your gender.
Mm-hmm.
That to be a boy, that the odds are so much less than for the girls that are waiting to be adopted. I remember I was talking to a social worker, and this is not just in the Philippines. If I'm not mistaken, this is globally. That there's a secret formula to the most adoptable type of child. And they said, unfortunately, the reality is, if you are a girl under 6 months old and fair skin, you have the highest chance of being adopted. And you can just see there's just so many things wrong with that, because that precious, as precious as she is, that precious newborn baby girl, fair skin baby girl, is just as precious as the 18-year-old dark-skinned boy that is in a children's home today, hoping and believing for a family. Mm. Sometimes we look at the externals, not realizing that the value of that child is innate, regardless of who they are, their gender, their age, their physical attributes. The value of that child is the same, regardless of all of those external things that we see. And we really hope families would just consider this information, because we don't talk about it enough, because it's such a sensitive topic. But anytime that I know you get to talk to a family or I get to talk to a family and we ask them about preference, we always say, yeah, but did you know? Mm-hmm. And we hope those listening would do the same. Did you know that actually boys are less adoptable? And so if you really want to help, and if you really want to be able to do something where taking a child who's in desperate need of a family, then we encourage you to maybe consider a boy, right? But these are, we understand. We also understand that there are sometimes preferences. And so I understand that there are pieces of various stories that not everybody gets to hear or talk about. But the realities of the situation in the Philippines and the statistics around likelihood of being adopted is something we need to talk about. Okay, so we've gone past the hard one. The one that's a little bit more obvious is sibling groups.
Mm-hmm.
Sibling groups. Tell me about sibling groups. Why is it so hard to get them adopted, aside from the obvious answer of instead of one, you have to take many?
Actually, I'm glad now with the Rohi Foundation families, they are open. A lot of them are open to sibling group of two.
Okay, that's good. That's a good place to start.
Oh, not only twins, but even...
Just siblings, biological siblings.
Pero pag more than two na, I think that's a challenge already. Kasi from usually, maybe because of the statistics also, na usually the PACs or the prospective adoptive parents are childless couples. Mm-hmm. And of course, from being a childless couple, they would not want to take that risk of having or welcoming three kids parang the first time.
Right.
Which is very understandable.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about what kind of parent or partner you want to be?
Or what kind of family you'd want to have?
Tara, together with my spouse, Tammy.
Together with my husband, Dennis. Pag-usapan natin yan.
And let's grow together as parents and partners on our Parenthood podcast.
In this podcast,
we'll talk about principles and practical tips on marriage,
parenting, and family life.
Listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms.
Now back to the episode.
So that's for those who don't have children yet. And then when you come to those families that do already have children, they're thinking, I already have two or three. And then adding two or three more can feel like a big commitment.
Oh, yes, yeah. True. Financially and emotionally.
Yeah, just their capacity as a family. So I understand that. But you know what? There's just a need. And I think there are some families with the capacity to do that. And, you know, we're looking for you. We hope to find them. But the reason why this happens and sibling groups become unadoptable, so to speak, is because we try to keep them together.
Yes, true.
Maybe you can share with us, Giselle, the purpose of keeping them together, why that's so important, and why, you know, sometimes they don't get adopted simply because we've tried to keep them together.
Remember that these kids have already been separated from their biological family, from their parents. And the siblings that they have are the only family that they have. It would be very heartbreaking to see them parang
separated.
Pagkahiwa-hiwalay pa ulit. Kasi yun na nga lang yung meron sila. But I do understand. I'm praying for the future na more Filipino families would just come forward and welcome these sibling groups of 3 up to 5. Kasi I experienced sibling group of 5 kids. Wow. The youngest at that time was 4. The oldest was 13, boy.
Okay.
3 boys, 2 girls.
Wow.
They got adopted internationally.
Wow. Yeah, and it's so, you know what? Those inter-country adoption stories really give me hope. That maybe we just need to give Filipino families a little bit of time to understand the impact of that decision to welcome children into our lives through adoption. But I have a hard question. Is it better to keep them together and they end up never being adopted than splitting them up and giving them a better chance at being adopted? As a social worker, and you've worked on that side of this as well, have you had to come to that question and have to really wrestle with that?
Actually, we had some cases when we needed to separate the sibling group because of number one, the age or the behavior. So we experienced sending the youngest child to an adoptive family, leaving behind the eldest.
I see.
Kids, because of some misbehaviors, etc. But they get to keep in touch. The adoptive family is so nice that they still reconnected with the biological siblings of this child. But yeah, it happens also. But if we believe that these kids would thrive together, maybe, yeah, we would take that risk.
Right.
Because if they don't get adopted, but they have each other.
Yeah.
That's a family.
Right. There's still family. There's still hope for family for them. Well, thanks for answering that. I know it's a hard question, and I can't imagine having to be in the position of a social worker at a child caring agency where you have to make that kind of a choice for the kids. But I have so much respect for what you guys do. Last group that we want to talk about are children with special needs. I don't even know where to start, mostly because of the definition I came to discover recently, that the way special needs are defined is so broad that some of the things that are described or that count as special needs in our local adoption process are things that I would not have considered were special needs. Maybe, can you just shed light on how it works, Giselle?
So children with special needs are the ones, actually, if you're 6 years old and above, you're classified as a child with special needs. Children with mild to major developmental delay, medical condition, or with hard backgrounds, such as abuse.
So if you've been abused as a child, you are considered, you are marked, your case is marked as a child with special needs.
Apo, yes.
If you have developmental delay due to lack of education, for example, or medical issues due to the lack of medical care, right, and access to that, you are automatically counted as a child with special needs.
Apo.
That's what they're up against. Yes, they have to be tagged as a child with special needs because of those things that were outside of their control and outside of almost anybody's control.
But another thing that I see, na reason bakit nagkakaganon po, no? Kasi maybe because the families just do not know that this type of children and background exist. Kasi mm-hmm. with our families at Rohi, the ones applying, once we tell them or share with them the backgrounds of children, such as this, like mild developmental delays, premature birth.
Right.
Most of them are willing to accept and say yes.
Well, I think it's because the category special needs, when you say that, I can understand that there are some families that should a child have special needs, you know, in terms of the mental care that they need or health conditions, grave medical health conditions mm-hmm. that require 100% of the family's time to keep this child alive and breathing and everything like that. That's something that a family would say, wait, I need to stop and consider, right? Mm-hmm. But there are other things which are, you know, things like learning delays and things like that, which can be worked on and there's hope for that. Why are they categorized under the same umbrella of this term special needs?
That is because there's not a lot of families lang talaga open to these kids.
So are you saying that what's helpful is maybe what we can do is we can publish a list of what are special needs, and so that families know that before saying no to special needs, maybe we should go a little bit deeper and understand what are those special needs?
Yes. Because actually on the application form from the NACC or the National Authority for Child Care, the categories of kids are the age, and then when it comes to the physical background would be normal, mild, major. There's no really details. So what we do in Rohe is we provide counseling to these families and we share with them the specific categories and characteristics of children.
Yeah, that's so helpful because I would feel so bad. You even mentioned premature birth, which sometimes has no actual effect on mm-hmm. the child. I mean, they can be born perfectly healthy and live a perfectly normal life in spite of having been born prematurely, needing no additional extra care or special care in that sense. And yet they are tagged as a child with special needs. So I think, you know, our heart in sharing this, and I know I sound shocked, but this is not new information to me, never fails to alarm me when I hear that, you know, that and even the circumstances around their birth, you know, if the mom, you know, was smoking or drinking at the time of pregnancy, that child's considered a child with special needs, regardless of whether they really do have any medical or, you know, mental needs that need attention. And so I just, our encouragement is when, to families who are listening to this and those who are out there, help us educate people around this term when it comes to the adoption space, right? That maybe before saying no, sit down with us. We can help you understand, walk you through the degrees of that and, you know, really help you make an informed decision. Our heart is not to trick people into adopting children with serious medical conditions who aren't families that are not prepared for that or anything. We just want families to be informed and not to be tricked into saying no to a child that they could potentially actually really care for and love. Mm-hmm. And they could live a, you know, a really full life with them. So just so much. And I think such a big topic. I'm so glad we did this episode. I'm so glad you said yes, Giselle. It's definitely not going to be the last time that you're on our podcast. Sorry, not sorry. But just, you know, to move forward, maybe how can those who are considering adopting or hopefully foster care? Oh, we feel so strongly about foster care, especially for these kids that are in this category of maybe less adoptable, less likely to be adopted. What can they do? What are some of the ways that they can get more information about how they can be there for these kids that are waiting?
Number one, please advocate. Help us in advocating for these children. Number two is you can volunteer.
Right.
To children's homes or even to child placement agencies like Rohi Foundation, etc. And also, you can give. You can contact them and give. Or serve as a buddy for them, like kuya, ate, tito, tita, for these older children. And I'm not even sure if this is allowed, but I would like to encourage you to visit homes. Because sometimes, on my experience, we only have a lot of misconception about these kids that are older. Maybe we're afraid that they already have had these behaviors, etc. But just visit and look at their eyes. And you would see that these kids are not different. They're normal kids. So that's my number one encouragement. Go and see them. Be with them. Spend time with them. And you, my hope and prayer is that your hearts will be changed.
Yeah. I think it really does change you. And, you know, I think about the kids that are probably the faces that you see in your mind and that you're thinking of. And I remember when I visited, and I want to say that there are different views about visiting children's homes. A lot of times, you know, we want to visit because we want to serve and we want to help. But that's actually very limited in terms of what you're really able to give. It's really sometimes even more work for the child caring agency to have you there. What you're saying, I think you hit the nail on the head, Giselle, is the visit is for you. That hopefully if you decide to visit, know that the objective of that is not to create change and instill change. Because if you really wanted to do that, we would encourage you maybe volunteer with us or volunteer in other ways where you can help them really get adopted and brought into families. But if the goal is to understand and gain awareness, really be more educated, more informed about the realities, and maybe put us to the test, find out that really are some of these kids really different? Are some of the things, the misconceptions I had about older kids, maybe I need to know and see for myself, because it really does change you. My first trip to this children's home that is on our hearts, it changed me dramatically. It changed my perspective about foster care, changed my perspective about older kids. And our hope is that maybe you're listening and the same will happen for you through a visit. So yeah, so do that. And there's so many other ways. I think foster care is the planned temporary parental support that you can provide. We get you licensed, which Giselle can also help you with getting your foster care license. And then we're able to place a child with you. And, you know, hopefully that'll work out. And for some of these older kids, for some of these boys, for some of these, you know, sibling groups, they just need to be around family so that they would be able to experience the love and care of family. And hopefully the guidance provided by a family through their teen years and growing up here. Yeah, anything else?
I just want to share this one story of an adult child that's already independent. She's on her own. She was a foundling case.
Okay.
And one day she messaged me. She asked me, ate, sino ang ilalagay kong guardian? Nag-a-apply siya ng SSS, PhilHealth, etc. Parang, I just want to let you know that the reality of these cases, an adult that was a foundling child, doesn't even know what name to put on that
as a guardian or like an emergency contact.
Yes. And I just hope and pray for the day na more Filipino families would open their homes to children with such needs. Older kids, sibling groups, children with special needs. Because these kids deserve a home.
Thanks, Giselle. Thank you for being here and shedding light on this topic. I think a lot of food for thought. Hopefully we leave you with enough to think about and talk about with your family and share this information with your friends. The people that you meet this week, I think our goal is that more people would understand the realities around orphan care in the Philippines. And so if you would support us by sharing this information with the people around you, and if you want to support the work that we do and help us reach more families, you can reach out to us as well. We can look for ways that we can work together in addressing the orphan crisis in the Philippines. But that's it for us today. Stay in touch. You can email us at rohefoundation@rohe.com, or you can visit our website, rohefoundation.org. Reach out to us on social media, on Instagram. You can connect with us directly, Giselle and myself, if you'd like, and we'd be happy to stay in touch with you. But that's it. This was the Families the Answer podcast brought to you by Rohe Foundation. See you next time. That was the Family is the Answer podcast by Rohe Foundation and powered by Podcast Network Asia. If you're interested to know more about adoption and foster care, visit our website at rohefoundation.org, where you can find articles, videos, and other resources. You can also find us on social media. We're Rohe Foundation on Instagram and Facebook. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope to catch you at our next episode. The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.